You're listening to the More Time, More Profit Podcast, the best place for entrepreneurs who are looking to grow past the startup phase of their business, but still need to learn how to free up more time and drive more profit. Now, present these real strategies, your successful business coaches and hosts, Adam John and Grant Muriel.
Welcome to the More Time, More Profit Breakout Show. My name is Adam John, and joining me as always, a big drum roll for the super brain, Mr. Grant Muriel. How are you today, buddy?
Good, buddy. How are you doing?
Very good, very good. So this is our first show, so it's pretty exciting stuff.
You know it. Episode 000.
000. So each week we're going to be covering specific topics, and it's really designed to help the business owner lead a better quality of life while continuing to grow and scale their businesses. So for anyone out there, you might be listening for the first time, or you may have listened to another episode and you're coming back to learn a little bit about Grant and myself. And in this episode, you'll be able to get in and see what makes us tick.
Yeah, so basically we wanted to, kind of pull back the curtains and give you guys an insight into sort of our backgrounds, what we implement, etc. So basically this is going to open up yourselves into our networks and our masterminds and help you grow beyond your current achievements that you've ever achieved before.
Beautiful. So we're on 000 today, and we're going to jump into why you and I created More Time, More Profit. You know, why is it important to us? So there are lots of businesses out there, and we've been in those businesses ourselves that have struggled. So some people are really trying to scale their businesses. Some people feel like they're really stagnant and they're bogged down in the day-to-day of their operations. Some are struggling just to keep their businesses alive. And let's be honest, a lot of businesses are out there just struggling. You know, sometimes you feel like a duck on a pond and you just seem normal on top, and then underneath the water, you're really just paddling your feet and just trying to stay afloat. So there's a lot of business owners out there like that. Some people are not as profitable as they like. Some people are highly profitable and they can't expand. And other people are just working themselves into an early grave. So we've been through all of these scenarios ourselves in our businesses, and we're going to show people the systems and the process that we put in place that we went through to get out the other side in one piece.
Yeah, and I love the duck analogy, because basically all the More Time, More Profit podcast is about trying to show you guys, the entrepreneurs, what your next logical step to take in your business is going to be, right? So what is that next step you can do to try and leverage the most time for you to get back, as well as the most profit that you can get out of your business? So I know that a lot of my best ideas have been fueled off topical discussions with other entrepreneurs, people who have got the battle scars and the wounds to show it, and have implemented exactly what my next step should be, right? So I've got quite a few business mentors who have held my hand throughout the many, many, many years of business, and some of the best mentors that I've ever had and still have to this day never really answer my questions directly. So it's not like I've got this single problem, what is the solution? They generally come back and answer my question with another question, or they fuel a conversational topic around that to get me to find the answer myself. And that's basically what More Time, More Profit's all about. We'll run through some examples of what we've done and how we've gone about it, but it's to fuel your brain and your ideas with what we've been through to try and find the solution yourself and get to that end point yourself. Because when you come up with a creative solution, you're so much more set on implementing it yourself because it was your idea.
Absolutely. And right? I'm going to jump in there and I'm going to tell you exactly what it is not. And this gets me really mad. In a day and age where everything is found on the internet through Google, there are a lot of people out there posing to be experts, what we call fake it till you make it. And these guys are out here just recycling a whole bunch of information, and they have blogs and they have podcasts, and they come out and they tell you what they've read. They don't have any life experience. They haven't run any businesses. And over time, what actually happens is people start to believe them and actually do turn successful. But you really have to question their motives for doing that. And they don't really have that experience. So whenever we jump in and we tell you an experience or a story that we've had, we've been in the trenches. We've gone through it all. We've built businesses. We've sold businesses. And I just feel that we try to be really legitimate in the information that we give out there.
Yeah, and one thing that yourself and myself, Adam, hold really strong is that if there's a topic that we're not the subject matter expert on or don't have the battle scars to it, we'll pull in somebody to try and answer it for you if it's that important that most people have found that they need it. So this podcast's really, More Time, More Profit is around trying to get people to, I don't know, take the next step, but not just the next step of being, well, implement this strategy and implement this strategy. It's the next logical progression within their business, right? So basically, this podcast is all about yourself and myself, Adam, as much as I hate talking about myself.
Oh, come on, settle down. I've heard it all now.
I thought I'd sneak that one in there. I didn't think you'd catch that one. So at the end of this podcast, basically, everyone's going to learn more about our background, sort of where have we come from, what have we been doing, and sort of why are we so passionate about business. They're going to be stepped through what our current endeavors are, both together and individually, as well as where are we going. So where are our personal endeavors taking us? What about More Time, More Profit, and where's that combined going? As well as why is it important to us and where are we going with that importance? So before we buckle in, look, if you want to download any of the show notes, learn more about Adam and myself, Grant, go to www.moretimemoreprofit.com/00 for the breakout session to download a lot of these insights that we're going to be running through today. So I'm going to jump straight into it and look over at yourself, Adam. So I want you to tell me a bit more about you. So tell me a bit more about your background so that we can all learn about where you've come from and how you got to where you are.
Absolutely. So I've always been an entrepreneur going back as far as I can remember. I remember always trying to come up with business ideas when I was a little kid so I could get so I could buy chocolate and play video games and all these great things that little kids want to do. And I go back, I was thinking about this great story where I go to my grandma's house and I'd pick plums off a tree. Plums are just like a fruit in Australia. And I would go around knocking door to door and I would sell the plums. Now, the great thing about my grandma, who was so supportive of me, she would actually buy some of her own plums back and she would say to me, here's $2. You know, you had to go out there and pick them and you had to package them up and I'm more than happy to buy from them. So I had a great business model there. I had no tax under the table. She was willing to come and buy her own product back, so it's like selling ice to Eskimos. And also I had the support of the neighborhood because as a six-year-old kid, I'd ride around on my bike. And look, I've never eaten a plum in my life, but I would go and sell these things. And I think people were just appreciative that I was out there trying to make something happen. So from an early age, I knew that I needed to make money to fuel my passions. And I just set about creating crazy businesses ever since the age of six all the way through. So, and some of the best business learnings I've ever had is from when I was a little kid. So growing up a little bit, I was born in Tasmania and I studied in Brisbane in Australia. I studied multimedia. So I got a degree in graphic design and multimedia. And then after that course, I gravitated towards web design and I started creating websites for people. And then they come to us and say, how do you get on Google? I would say to them, look, I have absolutely no idea, but I'm going to learn. And I noticed that a lot more people were asking me how to get online, how to do their online strategy and everything along those lines. So I just decided to hook in and learn about that. So I freelanced around a lot. I just worked about part-time. I played a lot of sport, had a great time as a young student coming into his own with his freelance business, and it was a great time. In 2007, I decided to smarten up a little bit, and I went to work for the largest search engine marketing company in the world. The name of that company was called Reach Local, and it was a startup company, but now it's a big, large public company. It's all over the globe. And I really gave myself 12 months there. So I come in as a specialist and I just really wanted to learn on their dime because I knew after that 12 months, I was going to take my freelance business, turn that into a large company. And look, if I go to this company and they're spending millions of dollars to learn how to do their advertising and build their sales force and everything like that, it makes sense that they're spending their money to learn it. And then I could go implement that into my business later on. So a year to the day after I started at Reach Local, I went to start my own business, and it was called SearchFound. It was a digital agency, so we deliver websites, social media, content marketing, a real digital strategy. At the time, a lot of businesses were coming from the Yellow Pages, radio and TV. They were taking all their budgets, and they were moving those budgets online, and we just wanted a piece of that action. And I was pretty well trained.
From your multimedia days, did it teach you much about what you learned from Reach Local, or was it something that you had to dive deep in and said, I have these gaps in my knowledge, this is what I want to pull out of it for you to learn what you needed to fuel
Yeah, when I did that, it was really portfolio based. So you build a website, but what I found the greatest thing about business is when you have people asking you for, a product or service, it means you can build that straight into a business. So I would build a website. Yep. They would come to me and say, "Get me on Google." I had no idea about what I was doing, how to do it. But I said, "I don't know, but I'm going to go learn it." And then for every website I built, the marketing would come up, and I could make more money out of the marketing than I could actually in the website design. So the website for me was just a starting point, and then that's what led us into the digital marketing side of things, if that makes sense.
Gotcha.
So BitUp Search Found, I was the founder of that. We were making 7 figures in sales. We turned into a 7-figure company. In 2012, I started Outburst Incorporated, and I moved to the Philippines in Cebu City, where I actually met you. And I started off our offshore office over there. So what we would do would have the sales and account managers in Sydney, Australia, in the office there. They would go out, sell, do all the account management, and then we'd shift it over to the overseas office in Cebu, and they would do all the back-end work, simply because we could hire people. We could hire 5 people to every 1 person in Sydney. So you can get some really good leverage off your staff over there. In 2014, I was a little bit burnt out. I was running 2 companies. In 2 countries, I was working 15 hours a day, 7 days a week. I got to the weekend where I was just like, oh, I just need to drink this away. So I'd go out, I'd drink and party all weekend, and I'd come back into the office Monday, and things would seem a lot worse because I didn't have that clarity. So I made the decision to sell. So I sold both companies in 2014. Another reason was I wanted to reach more people. I could sit there and build my team up in the Philippines and train all these guys in SEO and digital marketing. But at the end of the day, I could only reach 15 people or 20 people in the room, not to mention our clients. I wanted to take that onto a global scale. So instead of reaching 100 people, I wanted to reach 1 million people. And also it presented me with new challenges as well. So from there, I took 18 months off to get some clarity, which was probably the best thing I ever did. Yeah, which was fantastic.
So going back, sorry, I will interrupt again. So before we progress on to taking 18 months off to get clarity and what you did next, looking back through, if I get this correct, I think it was about 2007, you were working at a company up until 2014 when you were doing 15-hour days, 7 days a week. Looking at running the company for such huge days and not having a day off during the week and working for a company as an employee, looking back at that, what was the most challenging part? Was it being an employee and not having the ability to grow yourself and fill your own days? Was it working huge days? Or, I don't know, would you reverse time and just be an employee for those 7 years? Or were you happy knowing that you were trying to move towards something?
Yeah, one thing as an entrepreneur, you know that you have a very difficult time working for other people. So when I worked for that company for 12 months, it's really the first, real full-time job in media that I've had, and had to bite my lip a lot. I think I got promoted 2 or 3 times within 12 months, which was great. I just come into that company really swinging. People really respected, what I did. I got to go to Google headquarters and do my training there. I got to go to Yahoo headquarters and do all my training there. So it was great. So as I said, for me, it was just really a way to come in and get some knowledge and some experience, how to build a sales force, how to deal with legals, how to do account management, just on a global scale, and then I can do that in my own business. So hopefully that answers your question a little bit there.
Oh, and that's good, because it was one thing that, going into my story later, was people ask me, well, how did you know that you wanted to stop being an employee, and how did you take what they call the leap of faith? And so it sounds as though you already had the leap of faith in the back of your mind saying, this is where I'm going to get to.
Yeah, so the big vision for me, it was just a stepping stone. So the big vision for me was having my own company, my own team, my own everything like this. I'd already been freelancing a couple of days a week. And the great thing about freelancing is you learn the tax system, you learn how to get clients, you learn how to sell it, you learn all these things. But turning them into a corporation is another big beast altogether. So I was only there for a short period of time. The day I left, the big bosses pulled me in the office and said, look, we're glad to have you as long as we could. We knew you weren't going to stay forever, but thanks for your service. And they gave me 2 going away parties, which is unheard of for that company. Usually they just march people out the door when they haven't made their sales. So that was a big feather in my cap as well. But obviously it was working towards a bigger picture, and that's where we went with it.
That's awesome. So going back to what you were talking about before, when you said you took 18 months off to get some clarity.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically, what did that turn you into, or what were the next steps after that?
So the next steps after that, so I was living in Cebu City, I moved to Brock Island, which was in 2010, was voted the most beautiful beach in the world. So I just literally moved to paradise, and I had a nice chunk of change in my pocket, and I thought, right, now's the time, I'm really going to get things back on track. So I just bummed around for probably 2 or 3 months and just did a bit of partying, and I got to the point where I didn't have any clear goals or visions for the future. I knew I was always going to be in businesses. I was thinking about starting up new businesses, and then I just put the brakes on everything. I thought, right, I need to get my headspace cleared. So I got into things like meditation, yoga. I stopped drinking. I started playing sport again because I was really passionate about that. I got out and I met more business owners. I created a great group of friends. And really, when you work, you know, 15 hours a day, 7 days a week, you put all of those things on the back burner. So I was really, really conscious about getting my life back on track and just having a nice, even, level playing field to get things back on track. And then I knew that would build the foundation for the businesses in the future.
So basically, you just restabilized yourself after just an insane period of work time.
Absolutely.
Where you're just shaking yourself up to not having a schedule, not knowing what was going on, to basically bring yourself back through, I don't know, I guess Tim Ferriss will call it like the mini retirement, right? So you've had 18 months of what people would basically think of as a dream, right? And that leads you up to kind of currently. So looking more at where you were before, now that we know, what is your current focus and what are you doing at the moment?
Currently, yeah. So I'm just taking a lot of time down. I'm still, that 18 months is expanding out into 24 months, but that doesn't bother me at all. So I'm just really enjoying life and what I'm doing. So I'm currently doing a lot of travel, like as we're filming this right now, I'm in the Dominican Republic, and I've got my 4x4x4 that I stick to. So what I do is I do 4 hours work a day, which covers dealing with you, filming, doing podcasts, accountabilities and learning. And then I do 4 hours of sport and recreation, which includes yoga, the gym, kiteboarding, beach volleyball. And then I do 4 hours of me time. So it's rest and relaxation, meditation, reading, watch documentaries, hang out with friends and everything along those lines. So that's really what I'm focused on, putting a lot of time into more time, more profit at the moment. And I've also got a few other businesses on the back burner. So the other thing is I really want to give back. So I like working with other business owners and helping them, you know, improve their quality of life, spend more time with their family, and also drive more profits. So I'm on a nice, even, you know, lifestyle work relationship at the moment. And even when I do that work each day, it doesn't feel like I'm working. It's something I'm really passionate about, and that's what I'm right into.
So I shouldn't try and throw a 15-hour day at you.
I mean, you can. I mean, there's a time and a place for that. If we're doing a big launch or something like that, it's not that I'm lazy. I only want to do 4 hours a week, 4 hours a day. But what I'll do is I'll leverage my time. So we'll hire someone and put them in our Philippine office, or we'll hire a third party to be able to do something for us. So rather than me sitting down and if you throw a 15-hour day at me, the first thing I'll be doing is I'll be sitting down making a list and figuring out the things that I could give to someone else. And there's no way that you'll give me a 15-hour day that I had to be 100% across. So I would probably whittle that 15-hour day down to a 2-hour day. So and the other thing is when I sold my company, I was doing 15-hour days. And then when we worked through what is now the More Time, More Profit system, I got down to 2 hours a day. And it was really good. So you go from this really stressful life down to 2 hours a day and like, oh, maybe I don't need to sell afterwards anymore.
Because I remember that conversation.
Absolutely. But I'm glad I did it. And it's the greatest thing I've ever done. And we're just onwards and upwards from here on in.
Yeah, and it's funny because we had a good chuckle when I said I don't talk a lot and I'm quite humble at the start of this podcast. So speaking about humility, one thing that drew me quite considerably to yourself as a good network from a business point of view, but also a close friend, was that your humility is significantly high. And I think a great example of this, which I'm going to pull out of you rather than wait until you mention it, because I don't think you're going to mention it, was that you were recently on Necker Island with Sir Richard Branson and just hanging out there for, it seemed like it was almost a week or something. Just on this podcast, I think it's probably quite a good place for you to tell everyone about how that was, what you took out of it, the amazing networks that you met, etc.
Yeah, so I'm sure this topic's going to come up a lot. A lot of people bombard me with it. I didn't actually tell anyone I was going. I think you're the only person I told that I was going there. So I didn't want to big note myself and go along and do a lot. I didn't even tell my mother. I just posted a photo on Facebook one day and said, this is where I was. And she nearly, like a lot of people nearly fell over, but that had a pretty good impact on. But it wasn't something that I was doing to, yeah, for anyone else. It was really just for me. So I was invited along with a group of entrepreneurs there for a week. And I sit down and people are like, why did you go? You know, a lot of people want to go and, you know, pitch him business ideas. And some people want to help him, you know, save the earth and do all these other things. And everyone's been asking me. I never really knew why I wanted to go along. And then I sort of sat down and I figured it out the other day. So do you know what the rub is?
No, right, so, I used to play football, so.
Well, I was going to say, we both lived in the Philippines as well, so the rub could be something completely different.
I wasn't going there.
You know, I'll always take it there. So the rub is a sports term. So when you rub shoulders with someone who is a couple of levels up from you, what it does is it brings you up to that level. So here's an example. So 6 months ago, I'm on my local beach in the Philippines, and I'm playing in a competition, and I team up with the gold medal team captain of the Olympic volleyball team. This guy's 6'8", I'm 5'11", and we actually become playing partners. And we take on the national team, and we played in this competition, and it was a great weekend. And, you know, by playing with someone like that, do you think, after I went away from that weekend, do you think I was a better player or a worse player than having played with someone like that?
Of course, you're a better player.
Okay, so I play with this guy. He's getting ready for the Rio Olympics. He's a big superstar. He's just a normal guy to me, but I start playing with him, and I'm just like, oh, my goodness, this guy's on a completely different level. I'm at this level. If I go two levels up, I'm going to be on this guy's level. So what it does is it gives you the belief in the possibilities of, you know, seeing what he's done, and it gives you a path on, you know, where you need to be. So for me, it was really similar when I wanted to go to meet with Richard. I just wanted that rub. Now, it sounds like a selfish type thing. I want to go and take value off this guy, but for me, look, we lead very comparable lives. We both live in island paradises. We love kiteboarding. We love business. We love giving back to people, and we love having a good time. So there is not a huge disconnect between us. So if you were trying to get the rub off me playing volleyball, I would be five levels ahead of you, and you probably wouldn't get much out of it. But when I'm close to an Olympian or I'm close to someone like Richard, then I can lift my game and take myself to the next level. And really, that's what the rub is to me. And the great thing about going away and spending time with Richard is, you know, we play sports together. We talked everything from space travel through to tennis and some funny stories that I'm not going to ever mention to anyone else. But, you know, it allows me to understand that, look, I've gone through certain aspects of my life where I've gone through and I've built a company, I've sold a company, I want my life back, I want to travel. And I look at this guy and he's worth $5 billion. I'm like, what is this? What's he doing all day? Obviously, he's running over 100 businesses. He's got Virgin. He's got all these big names. But also, he's enjoying his quality of life. He's out there playing sport each day. He's out there dealing with entrepreneurs and all these other things. So, and I really come away, and you'll notice I was really motivated about that, because at the same time, we'll create more time, more profit. And I said, this is amazing, because we can apply our principles to a ma and pa operation who live in the local suburbs of Sydney, or we can apply these principles to a billionaire. And that's when I got really excited. And that's really what I took away from the whole weekend. You know, I met a lot of great people, created a lot of great networks. Some of those are turned into some other businesses on the side. But really, it was the thing to be able to see, hey, look at this guy. Leads a great quality of life. He's worth a lot of money. And he continues to enjoy himself. It is all very achievable. And that's how I got the rub to step my game up.
Yeah, I love that story. I'm definitely going to be breaking your skull to try and pull out as many stories, as much information.
Yeah, I'm willing to share some of them. Some of them I'm not willing to share. But as I said, it's a great experience for me. So
that's right. I'll be the voice of the audience and asking the hard questions.
Exactly. Exactly.
It sounds as though, from a historical and a current standpoint, you've kind of dug through the trenches and been through it all. So just quickly, run us through the future plans of what is Adam John.
Look, for me, I just want to continue. Like, I mean, it's just such a good space. I didn't mention before, I probably went through a bit of depression after I sold my company. And I know you've probably been through it a bit yourself, where you didn't really have a clear vision or mission or set goals on what you wanted to do. So, look, I just sat down the other day. I just said, look, I'm so happy. Like, I get to live at the beach. I get to play my sport all day. I get to hang out and talk about business with you. I've got other people in my network. I get to call my family, and I'm just really well-rounded at the moment. So I'm glad I took the time out to travel as well. I've always had on the back burner. I'm just like, yeah, I'll travel when I get the chance. And then I always figure out a reason why I shouldn't do it. Well, there's no excuses anymore because I'm not tied down. Everything I do in my business now is 100% remote. So I could be sitting in a hotel room in Manila filming a podcast with you, or I could be sitting in a hotel in the Dominican Republic doing exactly the same thing. So for me, I'm all about continuing learning. I'm all about continued growth. You know, I'm always going to be in business. I'm the same as when I was selling plums when I was a six-year-old kid. I'm always going to have opportunities. I'm not really one to stay retired for too long. And I just like to apply all those things to all the businesses that I'm involved with.
Yeah, I love it. I think everything that you've attested to is exactly why. One of the perfect fits for exactly what More Time, More Profit is going to try and achieve for every single person who's listening for this.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about it the other day. I'm just like, you know, why do I like working with Grant so much? It's not that, you know, he's so smart, he's motivated. I know, like, you know, if we come up with a task, he'll deliver his accountabilities. But you have this uncanny way of being able to break things down. So I was thinking about, you know, I'm always telling stories. So the analogy for me would be, let's assume that I'm really good at woodwork and I created my own woodwork company and I bought it and sold it. And, you know, I could create these great cabinets. And then I come into a school and I would be hired from my skills and my experience and my ability to be able to teach. And then I would meet someone like you and you'd be like, right, this is all very well and good, but you need to turn it into a syllabus. You need to be able to turn it into a process or a teachable system. So if you teach it at this school, or if you go teach it at another school, or you go teach it internationally, you can teach exactly the same syllabus. And that's why we work really good together. I've got about 9, 10 years on you. So I'm, you know, by default, you know, you were just a little kid when I was slinging some of my first businesses. But one of the great things is I can use my experience and my storytelling, and then you can put it together in this syllabus, and we work together as a team and come up with this system, and it just works so beautifully.
Yeah, I could not agree more. It's actually the yin and yang is 100% on it.
We'll be right back after a message from our sponsors on the More Time, More Profit podcast.
Hey, Adam, buddy boy. Look, I've heard you guys consistently mention leveraging outsourced staff, and I'm definitely keen to try it out. And I know More Time, More Profit has over 20 years experience in outsourcing and 8 years experience living in the Philippines. And so you are the guys to ask. So, can you point me in the right direction with regards to filling some full-time positions in my company?
Yeah, you are correct, and I do get this a lot. What real problems are you trying to solve?
Let me tell you. Well, I need to grow my team to cater to the ever-growing client base that we have. I also want cheap staff to drive better profit. And most importantly, I need people who already have a great skill set so that I can get some of my most important time back.
Okay, so outsourcing is cheaper and it allows you to scale very quickly. It covers jobs like web design, administration, development, writing, finance and bookkeeping, marketing, social media and SEO, just to name a few. But have you thought about the potential problems with your staff?
Mate, sounds like everything I need. But you mentioned other potential problems, like what?
Let's consider your IP walking out the door. What about data security? And what about the reliability of your staff?
Hells no, man. But now that you mention it, what about fast internet, payroll, benefits, employment contracts, etc.?
Don't worry about it, buddy. Have I got a solution for you?
All right, let me have it.
Look, as you're a trusted listener to the show, I'm happy to introduce you into our network. We partner with the fastest growing outsource agency in the Philippines, and their security is better than Fort Knox. They're the only company I trust to look after my network, and they'll give you the same red carpet VIP treatment that they give to us.
Nice. But honestly, I'm a bit worried about signing up and just getting dumped with some individual or even someone else's rubbish.
Once again, don't worry about it. There's no problems. You get as many interviews as you want to find the right person to fit the right role for you. You can hire someone from as little as 20 hours a week. And if you inquire today, More Time, More Profit will cover the first week for free. Just go to www.moretimemoreprofit.com/VA to find out more.
No way. The first week free. But honestly, bit of a nervous Nelly, and I'm still concerned is there going to be across the other side of the world.
Look, don't worry about it. For yourself and anyone else in our network, the More Time, More Profit office is located in the same city as our partner. If there are any issues that need escalation, we're more than happy to go in and represent you.
Wowza, you'd actually use your team to help me out if I really need it. You do have faith in their ability. Look, What is that website address again?
Just go to www.moretimemoreprofit.com/VA and get started today.
Thanks, man. I'm going to jump onto it now.
Back to the show, the More Time, More Profit podcast.
Guess what? That's enough of me, buddy. Let's jump into you. Let's learn about Grant.
Yeah, so look, back in my days, here we go. Now I'm making myself sound extremely old. So when I was, I think it would have to be when I was 14 or 15, I had this great visions of grandeur and when I bought my first turntables. And I don't think I've ever told you this story, but it was a great story that I was reminiscing with my mum about being me and my best mate, Tim at the time, being driven around to house parties. We'd bought some speaker boxes from a garage sale. We bought brand new speakers and screwed them in, put soundproofing around them.
Can you tell me your DJ name before we go any further?
No. His name was DJ Knight with a K-N-I-G-H-T.
Uh-huh.
Now, do remember that we were 14 at this time. And, oh, jeez, this is going to haunt me for the rest of my life. So, so my name is Grant, obviously, with a start of G. And there was this, I don't know how I got to this word. There was a word called gimpage that it was just this random word that I made up. And, at the age of 14, I did not know what a GIMP was. G-I-M-P. And so my DJ name was DJ GIMP. And
oh, dear.
And so there was probably a reason. Now I remember the reason why I've never told you that story.
Yeah. Just go back to the old Tarantino movie where he's like, bring out the GIMP. So DJ GIMP is in the house.
Zed. Yep, Zed.
That's great.
Anyway, so... There was 2 to 3 years there of going and filling underage kids with our sweet surrendering music. We did a couple of weddings. We did quite a lot of like 16 birthdays and things like that. And there was probably my first real kickstart. I was a late bloomer in comparison to yourself selling plums, where I was doing DJ equipment. And actually, the hardest part was saving money to go and invest in it, because at the time, turntables cost me, I think it was just under $1,000. The speakers cost us quite a bit. And then trying to save through what we were doing to try and reinvest into the business was...
Was that just like, I love playing music, I want to go play parties? Or was it like, we want to turn this into a legitimate business?
It was, we wanted to be the best DJs on the face of the planet. But I think we spent more time trying to create business like a DJ name, than actually run the business.
Absolutely.
But we had quite a sizable network. We had a good group of friends and things like that, and so we'd go and do quite a few parties. So it was, I think it came to an end because we recognized that, one, if we were going to make it bigger, we're going to have to invest in more things. We couldn't rely on our parents to drive us around everywhere, because that was costing us a fortune in petrol and annoying the heck out of them. And it just got to a point where when we turned 18, it kind of... turned from more of a fun playing music into a more event-based, which is just not what we enjoyed at that time. So the business closed, DJ GIMP and DJ Knight dispersed and left the building. And basically it progressed me on to the next chapter of my life, which was...
I'm just waiting for the Best Of album to be released.
I think our first Unplugged song was called Ecstasy.
Reunited to her.
United to it. Dear gosh, thank God that's not going to come out. So, so anyway, I finished up high school. I got into university and I deferred for a year, which means I took a year off. And I actually managed the retail store that I was working at, which had 50 staff. It was about 47, I lied. And majority of the full-timers, I think it was about 90% of the full-timers, were over the age of about 40.
And how old were you, sorry?
So I was 18 at the time.
Oh, Jesus. That's got trouble written all over around certain respect levels and people paying their dues, I'm sure.
Safe to say, I think that the power trip got to my head. I think that it was more of a me and them scenario. And I should have taken a lot more out of that looking back at it than I did. It was it was a hairy year that I couldn't wait to get out of, but it was so fun at the same time because I was learning so much and I had so much responsibility.
Well, there's nothing worse than trying to teach something you know nothing about and pretending like you know something about it, and then trying to get, and people can just see straight through you, right?
Oh, but that's exactly right. And but I was so young and full of it that I thought everything I was saying was correct and right. So progressing from there, I finished up quite promptly after 12 months and went and studied entrepreneurship at a university here in Melbourne called RMIT. And yes, there is a university course that teaches you how to do entrepreneurship. It's really basic, sort of your accounting 101s, your business structure, marketing for entrepreneurs, which is more about guerrilla marketing tactics and replicating a whole heap of that.
That's really fascinating for me that you could teach entrepreneurship. For me, you know, I don't really feel like it's something you can be taught. Either you have it or you don't. But it sounds like that course is pretty cool because it takes people that are entrepreneurs and probably puts the managerial side of them and gives them a little bit more professional polish on top of all their creativity that you get from being an entrepreneur.
Yeah, so it's when I went through it, it was actually very catered towards trying to run a business. However, now it's more your management specific. So it's like 70% of the syllabus is management and 30% is a little bit more about entrepreneurial twist. So what they found out was about 75% of people who graduated became managers straight out from the university. So then instead of trying to adjust what they were teaching people to become, to create more entrepreneurs, they started adjusting the course to enable more people to become managers rather than build their own businesses. So it's kind of more now adapting to what people are doing rather than trying to fuel the entrepreneurship that it did.
I think that makes perfect sense as well. As I said, either you're an entrepreneur and you got it built into you or you're not. I don't think it's something that you can really teach someone to be able to do. You'll get people who are really successful business owners and they'll just have one business their whole life and really at the end of the day they're a manager. When you're an entrepreneur, you're always thinking about new businesses that you want to buy and sell and create and get cash flow. And you're not just a one-hit wonder.
Exactly. And some of the most successful people that came out of that course didn't even finish it. They kind of left after the first year. And they're just like, look, I'm running a business and most of this stuff I either know or I think I'm going to learn this pretty quickly or pay someone to do that work for me. So it was a good course. I can now officially say that between you and I'm the only one with a piece of paper that says I am an entrepreneur, which means I am the professional entrepreneur.
I want to see the diploma up on the wall in the office when I come back next, actually.
I should take a photocopy and print it. So then from that, the last business that we ran, because we had to run businesses in university, I built an online forum for real estate and property investing, which was a bit of a hobby, and it still kind of is of mine, where I just love watching the markets and things like that. So naturally, the progression was to open up a web design agency. So I've built a website for myself, and I've proven that I can do it. So let's go and do that for other people. After a couple of years, it was up and down and here and there and a lot of what I thought that I knew from 3 years of learning out of a textbook, it's just completely different in the real world. So the business, yeah, it had some great months. It had some terrible months. It kind of floundered, I guess, is the best word for it, where I felt like I didn't know enough within that industry. And it sounds very similar to yourself, Adam, where I looked at it and I said, okay, well, I know the fundamentals of structuring a company and building out systems and marketing and doing this, that, and the other. However, I didn't have that real-world corporate education where this is how you interact with a client. This is how you negotiate with a live client. This is how you do customer support X, Y, and Z. And so what I did was I basically put a hiatus or closed the doors, however you want to refer to it, on the web design agency. And worked in a digital marketing agency for 12 months, where similar to yourself, it was only 12 months, and I completely thrived. Doubled my salary, was training innovation meetings within every week within the company, as well as helping others with upskilling them from conversion, SEO, paid ads, etc.
And you know, what I was thinking the other day, I was thinking that you and I were competitors without even knowing it. So you had your company in Sydney, I had my company in Sydney, and there's a now I know what the problem with you is. That's you used to be my competitor.
Yeah, that's why we didn't like each other at the start.
Trying to take my holiday money to trying to take money out of my kids' mouths because I don't even have kids.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
And I can't have kids because you were taking my money.
See, that is the reason you don't have a family now, is because I was in there taking it. Although I don't have
you.
A family either because someone else has taken mine.
We're going to be a couple of old loners that just took opportunities off each other.
That's about right. So basically, from there, the reason that I was asking you before was I went into working for this digital marketing agency knowing that I didn't want to work there forever. So I actually, I still remember it was in January when I walked into my manager's and the CEO's office with a piece of paper that was a resignation letter, which had a future date on it, which was 6 months into the future. Because I knew hard and fast I did not want to be there. In that meeting, I still remember the first question. They both looked at each other, and the question was, can you even hand in a six-month resignation letter? My response was, well, I just did. So it was one of those things that I just didn't want to get to the middle of the year and not take that leap of faith, not just get to it and just say, well, I need an extra $5,000 or $10,000. I need my next salary. I need a little bit more secure money. It was,
you drew that line in the sand and you had to stick to it then.
Yeah, and they pulled me in for meeting after meeting saying, look, we feel that you're not going to fulfill your resignation and that you're still going to want to work here. And I'm like, nope, I've given it. You've got it. You should be starting to find a replacement a couple of months out and I can train them, etc. And it was just me drawing that line in the sand. So after I finished up there in the middle of the year, I traveled Europe for a couple of months with a good friend of mine. Whilst I was building out a couple of e-commerce stores and building up a little bit of a digital marketing base through Europe. Then when I got my feet down in Australia, I consistently traveled between Australia and Asia whilst I built up my digital marketing agency and a couple of other e-commerce side businesses. So the agency flourished. We built over, I remember counting it, I think it was a couple of months back, where it was over 600 processes. So over 600 different process documents. At the highest point, we had 20 plus virtual assistants. And I was literally, I moved to Asia, and whilst I was living in Philippines, I did my Tim Ferriss 4-hour work week concept, which for most of the people who are listening to this probably have not hit that, where you've got so many people doing so many different things that you don't need to sit there and steer the ship consistently. To me, I basically felt like the best description is a drunken existence. I'd wake up, and this was for a two-year period. So currently I've been living in the Philippines for quite a few years. And across 2 years, it was me waking up very early. I'd do some yoga, do some meditation. I'd sit at the table. I'd learn Tagalog, which is one of the Philippines dialects. I'd go to the gym. I'd research whatever I'd want. I'd read a book. I'd go down the street for something to eat. And it was basically I'd just do whatever I wanted. You and I would play time zone in the middle of the day for lunch. And it got to this point where I just didn't really feel fulfilled. I wasn't creating anything bigger than myself. I was just sitting there, I don't know, being a little hamster in this wheel that was just, adding anything.
You didn't really have too much vision or anything. So when you say something bigger than yourself, what does that actually really mean?
Yeah, so basically, I don't know. Most people just call me crazy when I try and define this, but I was at this point where I was waking up each day asking myself, what am I adding to the world? Like, sure, I'm making money, I've got a great team, and clients are happy, and we've got systems, but it's not adding anything. I'm not in 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, I'm not going to be able to look back and be like, that's what I changed. Holy smokes, I changed that many people. That many people improved themselves because of me. I can make businesses more money, but they're not going to come back and say, Grant, you were the pinnacle of that.
Yeah, so I think you probably just need to stretch yourself and just have probably a bigger vision to be able to reach and touch and help more people.
Yeah, so that was something that, going back quite probably about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, it was something I knew that needed to change. So basically, I just sat down and I evaluated every talent that I had built up over the many, many years. I looked at the immediate options that I had, like potential business ideas that were on my desk at the time, networks that I had where I was talking to them about what they found that I had. So I think you and I had a couple of good discussions about what a next step could be or what you would do if you're in a similar situation and things like that. And the leap of faith, the next leap of faith I had after the leaving the digital marketing company with a six-month resignation was I closed and sold quite a lot of my businesses. So at that point, I think I was running about seven of them from e-commerce and the digital marketing. I closed ones that took up too much time, ones that I couldn't see enough growth within the industry or was too difficult, ones that didn't have high enough profit margin, which unfortunately for me and at the time it was SEO, just did not have the good enough profit margin for me, and some anything that I wasn't really passionate about, just basically just closed them off. And similar to yourself, I didn't really have a hiatus, but I just needed that real big shake-up.
Yeah, and I've had a lot of businesses too where a lot of people say, well, I failed in this and I love failing. You and I, we don't, you know, we haven't really failed historically, but what we do is we get to a point within that business and we're like, you know, it's okay, well, I can make $50,000 a year out of this business. Okay, let's close that one down and let's start a business that can make $250,000 a year. Okay, we get to that one, we max that one out, let's do a million. And then we just keep going up from there. So it's not really that you're failing or anything along those lines. It's just not as scalable and it's just not as profitable as, you know, if you're going to put 15 hours into a day, you might as well be making $10 million as opposed to $50,000. And I think that's looking back at both of our businesses now, the journey that we've been through, we're constantly going up that next level, next level, next level. So it's not about failure. It's more about just expansion and growth.
Correct. So basically looking at where I am at the moment, so from that, I don't know, from that shift, I'll say, I jumped into three businesses. So after closing and selling off the rest, I jumped into three different businesses. One is an executive coaching business, which is all about executive teams and future leaders internally and how they can take that step to the next level. The one that takes up the most time of my working days is working on an enterprise project management software and consulting company, which I'm going to touch base a lot more on in future episodes throughout the podcast, where it's all about your tier one and tier two companies and trying to manage projects through a simplified fashion.
And this isn't some flash in the pan small time company. This is the big one, right?
This is the one that that I'm going to be creating a legacy. So we're all already talking about artificial intelligence. We're already talking about doing a lot of machine learning, sentiment analysis, trying to change third world countries through being able to inject better leadership through the projects they're trying to do to try and help eradicate corruption and all this, that, and the other. So this is the reason it's taking up so much of my time, because I'm so passionate about it. There are so many factors that we can inject throughout the world through one simplified way of being able to manage large projects. So this is not a Trello, it's not an Asana, it's a top level. Like one of our clients is a multi-billion dollar global company.
I think that says it all, the direction of the company. I think that says it all. So hopefully a big fat payday at the end of that one as well.
And I'm hoping for a lot of people's lives to be changed with that, and a lot more projects being able to come in under budget and on time, which comes, funnily enough, it comes into more time and more profit, right? So then the big one, the last one, is more time, more profit. So this is all about giving back, and you and I have talked about this a lot, Adam, and how we're going to do it. So more time, more profit is all about trying to enable other business owners to take that logical next step, is the best way I can describe it. And so it's such a big part of me. It's the reason I Adam works here 4x4x4. I work my huge 4:30 in the morning to 10 p.m., 11 p.m. at night, because I love what I do. Every time I'm doing yoga and meditation, I'm thinking about how I can improve myself. I sit down and I count reading books as work, because I love it and it helps me improve on how I can do it. So my more time is actually how can I get more time to learn more, to go and engage more and actually implement more things across more people. So people are always like, well, how do you work so much? And I'm like, well, I don't, because I absolutely love what I do. I'm turning more and more into a bookworm and more into a, more of a brain and a knowledge house of business, which is what I'm trying to do. And it's all about that number one thing, which I came back to when I sold and closed my businesses, was how am I going to build a legacy and build something greater than myself? I've had my retirement. I've sat on beaches. I've done everything. And now it's time to really sort of shuffle and build something greater than me.
Yeah, I think the time aspect is something really important, because you could say, look, I get more time back with the more time, more profit. I get more time back. Look, I can go on holidays, or I could lie on the beach. But it also gives you the ability to take time out of, you know, doing the jobs that you shouldn't be doing and focus on the bigger picture of your businesses. Often when we're business owners, we get stuck in our businesses and we've got all these things that we want to do and we just can't do it because we're so reactive in our day-to-day operations. So it's not about getting time back so you can be lazy. It's about getting time back to do the things that matter the most. So for some people, it could be going on a holiday that you haven't taken. For some people, it could be spending time with your family. For some people, it could be sitting back and looking at how you can scale your business. I think time is probably the most important commodity that we have. And, you know, getting that back is really, really important. Yeah, so that's awesome. So that's what you're currently working on. What are you working towards in the future? And then we'll wrap this thing up because we're going over time a little bit.
Yeah, so look, The future from here is I want to continue living between Cebu, Philippines and Melbourne, Australia. So currently it's been 50-50 really for the whole part of this year. I'm really looking to advise millions and millions and millions of businesses and entrepreneurs. I'm not going for the hundreds or the thousands. I'm trying to impact more and more businesses because this is where I flourish. This is what I love. Currently, I'm a keynote speaker at quite a few business summits, so I'm looking to keep that up without taking away too much from More Time, More Profit and the Enterprise Project Management Company, as well as mentoring others, especially through More Time, More Profit. And finally, I guess it's all about looking at how I can make a bigger impact to help others and create something greater than myself. And that's really what every day I wake up and get excited about, is how can I build something better than that?
I love it. And you know, it's not work when you wake up and you do what you love every day. It's not work at all.
Exactly. So look, I want to wrap up there. I know we've gone a bit over time on this. So for anyone who's listening, if you want a short synapse and a bit of a summary of Adam and my background, download the wrap-up points for this episode from www.moretimemoreprofit.com/000, which is where you're going to get the points for this breakout episode.
Yeah, and if you have any questions, any suggestions for shows that you want us to cover, you can email us, social media, hit us on all the networks, anything like that. It's very easy to get us.
So anybody and everybody, don't forget to jump on iTunes, click on our podcast, enter your review, and subscribe for all of our future episodes.
And that is that. That is it from us, guys. So same bat time, same bat channel next week. And from me, I'm out.
And catch you guys next time.
You've just been listening to More Time, More Profit podcast. For more info, check out moretimemoreprofit.com. Make sure to tune in at the same time next week for another dose of real-life business strategies.